All right. Thank you, Daniel. Welcome once again, everybody. How are we this morning? Less than an hour of sleep. How are you? Good. Well, we're going to talk about that. Goodness. Oh, that's, you guys have been studying up one of the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to talk about what that means to be, what is goodness? Anyway, I'm very excited to be back with all of you this morning. This is a series that's near and dear to my heart. It's good to be thinking about these things. You know, our bearing fruit. I was out yesterday doing some pruning on a couple apple trees. I got them from my wife 2 years ago, I think, for a anniversary Mother's Day combo gift. We've got a Honey Crisp one that's closest to our house, and then a Honey Gold that's closest to the sidewalk. And there were two trees there previously when we moved in, but one was destroyed like in a thunderstorm, and the other one just kind of died. So dug them out and like, okay, let's do some apple trees. Anyway, so I was out pruning yesterday, and I watched. You know, I'm not a much of a gardener at all, but I watched a couple of YouTube videos and saw this guy give some advice on having, you know, just one good, you know, straight column in the middle, and then making sure you're kind of spacing other strong crotch branches that come out, and if there's any branches that are dead or kind of growing to the middle or look like they might start rubbing against other ones, you know, to clip those off. And he said, you're going to feel like you are killing the tree. I mean, by the amount of pruning that you do. But he said, trust me, this is good, especially in those young years. That pruning needs to happen if it's going to bear good fruit and not, you know, be formed in a strange way and, you know, things like that. And obviously there's lots of spiritual implications to that. You know, the more lessons we learn in our younger years, you know, or even younger years in Christ, you know, just a higher trajectory we're going to have to grow and bear more fruit. But you know, if we come to Christ and we resist the Lord's pruning, going through those difficult times, you know, we're just not going to grow as quickly. We're not going to be bearing as much fruit. And So it was just really neat as I was out there and thinking about all these spiritual things. But by the time I was done, you know, I looked at all the branches that I had cut. Like, you know, one of them, you know, it was a perfectly good-looking branch that was also close to the center. But this guy said, no, there can only be one good center stock if it's going to, you know, bear the most fruit. So, like, I cut it off. I'm like, oh, man, I hope I know what I'm doing here. I guess we'll find out, you know, this fall, if we have any good amount of apples or not. But I looked at all the branches that I had cut off. You know, some of them looked perfectly good. You know, other ones were, you know, maybe a little bit scraggly looking or dead that I cut off and things like that. But I was like, man, I feel kind of bad. I hope these trees make it. But you know, think about God with us. You know, He prunes us. You know, He cuts away those dead branches that aren't bearing fruit. He even cuts away ones that are looking pretty good in order so that another one can become even stronger and bear more fruit. So that was just a neat thing that I was able to experience yesterday in regard to this topic. Quick side note, I know, you know, like I said, I know I'm feeling tired, things like that. So if anybody does need to, like, stand in the back, that's totally fine. You know, just whatever you need to do to stay awake, I am okay with that. So feel free to get up, grab some coffee. We still got coffee back there, right? One of these guys will make sure that, yeah, So drink your coffee and stay awake, because you won't want to miss what we're going to talk about today. So I'll go ahead and pray. Lord, just thank you so much for this time that we can be together once again. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you how it guides us, it instructs us, it prunes us. Lord, we thank you that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing joints and marrow, soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Lord, we pray that you would do that in each of us this morning, that you would bring things to the surface in our lives, in our hearts that need dealing with, that we would grow deeper in our walk with you, that we would be Christians who bear these fruits of the Spirit that we're talking about. So we pray, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what you're telling us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Big idea today. is the same as last week, except with three new fruits to focus on. Bear and share patience, kindness, and goodness. So remember, we want to bear these fruits, and then we share them with others. Bear and share patience, kindness, goodness. Of course, last week was love, joy, peace. And then the next time I speak will be faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Quick note on that too. I'll be gone next week, but Deacon Tyler will be speaking. And then, like Daniel said, we've got a guest speaker, Pastor Dave Mata, coming to speak on the 22nd, which I'm really excited about. And just so you know, and I think most people here know this, we are what some people would consider more of a conservative, fundamentalist, Bible-believing church here. Calvary United Methodist is the same. Even though they have that United Methodist title, they're working on exiting out of the Methodist. Both Dave and I, we've talked through loads of doctrine and theology and very close to on board with the same thinking. So if any of you are thinking like, oh, I don't want to hear a pastor from a Methodist church come and speak here because they're so liberal, well, let me tell you, Dave has told me many times, he's like, we want, you know, there's a general convention coming up here in May, but the main populace at this church is much more conservative, Bible-believing as we are. So just to put your thoughts at rest, don't skip the 22nd just because there's a Methodist preacher, because he's they're kind of, what, how does he say it? They're kind of the rejects of the Methodist churches around here, because they actually want to, you know, live out the Bible and do what it says. So anyway, you know, and of course there's all kinds of other discussion that could be had on that, but that's not what I'm here to talk about this morning. Let's take a look at that verse again. The theme verse. It's at the top of your bulletin. Highly recommend memorizing this verse. I still haven't had anybody request a recording. So if anybody wants to, you can get your cell phone out now and record me live singing it. I'll wait. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And then you'll fall asleep with that in your head. It'll sink into you, and you'll be bearing fruits like you never thought you could. This first quote, we've got a couple quotes on patience here. Trees that are slow to grow bear the best fruit. Trees that are slow to grow bear the best fruit. That's a quote by Moliere. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but the bamboo plant, you know, it's one of the tallest growing, you know, plants that there are. When a bamboo plant starts out, there's really no visible growth for the first 4 years. So I mean, you plant the, I don't know, what it, you know, you plant the shoots or the seed, or, you know, once again, I'm not a gardener person, but, you know, once it's planted, you look at it, year goes by, doesn't look like anything's happening. Another year goes by, doesn't look like anything's happening. So on, and then finally, you get past that fourth year, and then you start seeing some growth, and then it becomes one of the fastest growing plants that there is. Why? Because that first 4 years, it's working on its foundation, its root system, you know, so that it, because in order to grow so tall, it has to have a solid foundation, solid roots. So some of you might be thinking to yourself, man, I've been in Christ for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I just feel like I'm not bearing much fruit. Well, that could be a concern on some levels, but also remembering that, you know, there's a lot of internal work that has to happen even after we accept Christ as our Savior, if we're going to bear fruit. You know, and depending on how old you are when you got saved, I mean, there's a lot of sin, a lot of habits, behaviors, tendencies that you've got to let Jesus work through you. You know, we sang about in that song, you know, thank you for healing me. You know, I know many people when they came to Christ, like, my goodness, they've got so much baggage in their past, you know, just difficult relationships that cause deep, deep wounds, and it takes time to heal from some of those things, and that's okay. But if you're patient, you know, as we get to this topic of patience, letting God work in you, you're going to be some of the trees that bear the best fruit. You know, that slow growing process. Another quote here: patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. Aristotle. Another interesting quote on patience. God is patient. Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Can anybody tell me, is this from the Old Testament or the New Testament? It's the Old Testament. I laugh to myself when I talk with students at NDSU that come to my table. I go there, you know, typically about every other week, and people come up to the table and we start talking about things like, oh yeah, you know, I think the God of the Bible, very, you know, in the Old Testament, he's a God of wrath, and then he kind of grows up and matures and then becomes a God of love and forgiveness in the New Testament. And I ask, have you read the whole Bible? And you know, and verses like this, you know, I'll share with them and say, well, Psalms in the said God is, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in steadfast love. Yes, he's a just God. He did a lot of things that in our finite, limited human minds seem like they could have been cruel or things like that. But you know, who are we to judge the things of God? You know, so God never changes. So I think that's an important. He's immutable. There's a big fancy word we can use. God is immutable. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. He didn't like grow up. He's always had the qualities that he's had. He's always been loving. He's always been full of truth. He's always been just. He's always been holy. He's always been merciful. He's always been abounding in steadfast love. Jeremiah, oh, what is it, 3? But, you know, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You know, God is love. He's always been that. And God is patient. He's so patient with us. The Lord, next point there under patience, the Lord waits for people. We can wait for the Lord. The Lord waits for people. We can wait for the Lord. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. I don't know if any of you ever think to yourselves, my goodness, Jesus, when are you coming back? He is coming back, Christians. I hope you believe that. He is going to come back someday. And sometimes I look around at our world and our culture and our society, and I think, how long is this going to go on? You know, how much wickedness will he allow? How much of this country, you know, going off the deep end is he going to allow? And then I remember, yeah, he's patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He's waiting for more people to turn their hearts to him, to repent. And once again, I'll put a big plug in. You know, that's one of the big themes of this prayer meeting that's happening tonight. It only happens 4 times a year, quarterly prayer gathering, but we pray for revival and spiritual awakening in this country. You know, there's already been 3 great awakenings in this country's history, and we're praying for another one, that many would turn. And oftentimes, as you guys know, people have to go through rough times. They have to go through trials in order for God to get their attention, and then they turn, and you know, and that certainly could be coming. But yeah, we're just praying that the church would wake up, there'd be revival in the church, that people would repent of their sins, and that would cause a spiritual awakening where the lost look and see the church doing what it's supposed to be doing. They see Christians loving each other, and they think, "Wow, there's really something going on here. Why are there, you know, 25 different churches from all different denominations that are getting together to pray?" That's a vision that God gave me. I want to, this up prayer gathering, right now we meet in Studio 2, which could probably max out with, you know, 70 or 80 people. I'd love to see it at the Shields Arena someday and have 6,000 people there. You know, I mean, wouldn't that speak volumes to the community if they drive by on a Sunday night? They're like, wait a minute, what's going on in Shields Arena tonight? What are all these people doing here? And they find out, they're like, wait, what? There's people from X amount of different churches that are all praying together? That's insane. You know, I think that would get people's attention, and there would be spiritual awakening. Anyway, God's big. He can do it, but he may not. He may hold off. Another verse there, Psalm 27:4. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Another good one. This isn't in your bulletin, but I think we'll have it up on the screen there. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. So here we see some of those qualities tied in together with God. He's gracious, he waits, he wants to be merciful, and he is a God of justice. You know, and once again, this is the Old Testament. Sharing these character qualities of God. Another one that I've been meditating on lately, this won't be up on the screen, but Psalm 37:7 says, Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And as I was thinking about that this morning, think about Jesus when that storm came up and the disciples are freaking out, the waves are crashing, the wind is howling, and where is Jesus? He's down in the lower level of the boat sleeping. Jesus, how can you be sleeping when this is going on? Save us. And he gets up and he says, be still. And everything stops. And there's calm. And of course, the disciples are astonished. But that's what I think about, you know, in our lives. Every person in this room right now probably to some degree has some kind of storm going on. There's waves crashing. There's wind blowing. We're thinking about how is this going to work out financially or new career or relationship issue or things like that. Be still and wait patiently for the Lord. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Another verse I like about Exodus 14:14, where it says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And if you're like me, I'm like someone who, I'm a go-getter. I want to take control of this situation. Let's get some stuff done here. It takes great patience to let go and say, okay, God, you take care of this situation. And I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for you to do it. Patience. It's newsflash, God's timing is not our timing. God never really seems to be in a hurry, does he? You know, even numerous, you know, even with Jesus, they came and told him about Lazarus being sick, right? And then he died. Like, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. And then he weeps with them. And then he brings Lazarus back from the dead. He said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Jesus wasn't in a hurry. He waited a couple days before he went. But he knew it was going to happen. And he was teaching patience. God knows exactly what he's doing. Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hand. My times are in your hand. We need to give our time to the Lord and be patient. Just as we trust God with our money when we tithe to the church, we trust God with our time when we give him that time, when we practice Sabbath and we take a day where we don't work and be like, okay, Lord, I've got all this stuff going on, but I'm going to give this day to you and I'll take care of those other things tomorrow. And we trust him with our time. We're patient. We are to be patient with one another. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And right here in this verse, I think we've got four fruits of the Spirit. Gentleness, patience, love, peace, right all in this one verse. They're all connected. They all play into one another. Okay, but obviously focusing on patience. We need to be patient with each other. Just as God has been patient towards us, we need to be patient towards others. And patience must be accompanied by forgiveness. Patience must be accompanied by forgiveness. Colossians 3:12-13. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And here it is again, bearing with one another. You know, another word for patience is long suffering. You suffer long, right? You bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, listen to this, Christians, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. If there is a situation in your life where you're harboring bitterness, where you have not fully forgiven somebody, you are living in disobedience to the scripture. You're living in disobedience. How could I, no matter how awful the offense, how could I hold a grudge, hold bitterness in my heart, knowing all the things that Jesus has forgiven me of? You might be thinking, Pastor, you don't understand what I've been through. You're right, I don't. But someone else does, and that's Jesus. He walked among us. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be denied, to have people stab him in the back. Who was there when the soldiers arrested him and took him away? Nobody. They all left. They fled. John was at the cross to see him crucified, but that was it. All of his other disciples that had lived with him for the last 3 years, none of them were even there to watch him be murdered on that cross. Everyone abandoned him. So if anybody knows what you're going through, it's Jesus. And yet, what did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We must forgive. We must forgive. It might not happen overnight. There's great healing that has to happen, of course, from different situations. But I'm sure you guys have heard this. When we're bitter towards someone else, it's like swallowing poison and hoping that the other person dies, right? The only person you're harming is yourself. You're allowing yourself to be chained to that situation, to be captive. And the other person very likely has probably moved on with their life. So I encourage you now, allow the Lord to search your heart. Do I have any bitterness towards any? Is there any unforgiveness? And we have to bear with one another. We have to have patience just as God has shown us. So question, how can I show the same patience to others that God has shown to me? How can I show that same patience to others that God has shown to me? So one of them, thinking about people you perhaps need to forgive. For me, as a parent, there's times where one of our children will do something, and I'm thinking to myself, didn't you just get like 5 disciplines for that today already? And now you're doing it again? And I'm thinking, and then sometimes God stops me and like, hey, Paul, guess how many times you have made the same foolish mistake again and again and again, and I've forgiven you. I'm like, yep, you're right. I'm like, okay. That's where my patience has been tested as of late, is just in parenting. But it's so good. It's refining me. It's teaching me to remember how much patience God has had with me. Moving on, kindness. Kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see, by Mark Twain. Love that quote. Kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Kindness is also accompanied by forgiveness. Okay, Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. And yes, thank you for asking. I do have a song for this one. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. Woohoo! That's a fun one. So now you guys are like, oh my goodness, this guy's nuts. But hey, I remember the verses. Okay? I'm trying to help you guys. That's how I remember these. That's one of the favorites at our house. But oh my goodness, we tell that to our kids. Be kind to one another. Be kind to one. And they're like, yeah, be kind to one another, tender heart. I, you know, kind of roll their eyes and okay, yep, forgiving one another. But yeah, it's a command. Kindness, being tender hearted. Yeah, and once again, also linked with forgiveness. God's kindness is what leads us to repentance. That's what leads us to repentance. Rarely will someone come to Christ because of you winning an intellectual, doctrinal, theological argument with them. It's going to be them drawn into the love that God has for them and the kindness that he shows. Or do you presume
on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God wants our hearts. He's not a big bad guy in the sky that's trying to keep us from doing fun or making us worship him so he can feel good about himself. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. And he knows that as he's kind to us, it's going to lead us to turn from our ways that are damaging our life. Sin leads to death. Anything you do that's contrary to the nation of God or the nature of God, you're going down a path of death. But God is life. He wants us to have life abundantly. Ephesians 2:7, God's kindness is immeasurable. We can't even measure it. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We can't even fathom the kindness that God shows us. Be kind, even when it's undeserved. Well, I'll be kind to that person if they're kind to me. Well, Jesus has got a different story for you. Luke 6:35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. God's even kind to people that could care less about him. It's amazing. Without going down any real big rabbit trails, but once again, just, you know, I referenced that movie last week, Tortured for Christ, with Richard Wurmbrandt from Romania, and yeah, you know, he even when he's been in jail, he's been tortured, his wife's at a labor camp, his son's been captured, he's still praying for these guards, he's still loving them, he's still showing kindness, and it's shocking to them, and that is what's going to set us apart from the world, loving and being kind to people who don't deserve it, being kind to our enemies. So here's the question, how can I better demonstrate acts of kindness to others? How can I better demonstrate acts of kindness to others? I mean, it's, and in this world, it really doesn't take a whole lot to shine in that. You know, just holding the door open for somebody, maybe bringing donuts or coffee for your work people, just smiling at a cashier and saying, hey, thank you for serving me today, you know, wherever you are, you know, it's just things that people just never expect, but that kindness, it's going to get them to think about things, you know, shoveling your neighbor's driveway without expecting anything in return, just, you know, people will be attracted to that kindness, which is really Jesus working through us. And the last one for today, goodness. So we've got patience, kindness, and goodness. Now, if you're wondering why there isn't a quote on goodness, I had two for patience, had one for kindness. If you're wondering why there isn't a quote on goodness, it's because I couldn't find any good quotes. Ha, ha ha, that's supposed to be there. Thank you, Michelle. I'll give you your $5 after the service. No. start paying people to laugh at my jokes. Oh, goodness. Okay, now, I think, and I'm guilty of this too, but when I asked, like, how is everyone? I heard some people say, good, I'm good. Well, definition of good or goodness, that which is morally right, righteousness. How are you? Good. How's the food? Good. Really? You're eating righteous food? You are, how are you? Good. Oh, wow, you think pretty highly of yourself. You're in a moral state of righteousness, so... Anyway, something that we don't really think about, but I've made a point in my life when people ask me, "Hey, how are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing well. I'm doing very well." Or what? "Hey, how's the food taste?" "Oh, it's delicious. It's very tasty." Like if you say it's good, you're saying that food is righteous. You know, it's like righteous food. I don't know. I suppose that could happen somehow. But anyway, just a little thought. I'm not here to correct people's grammar. Let's talk more about goodness. God is good, and enables goodness in us. God is good and enables goodness in us. 1 Peter 2:3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. 2 Peter 1:3. This is from the NIV 84. All the other verses have been ESV, by the way. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. 2 Peter 1:3. Now, something else that's very always been fascinating to me, there's a passage in Luke 18, and a ruler asked him, Jesus, saying, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And then in verse 19 of Luke 18, he said, and Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." I'm thinking to myself, wow, I mean, Jesus, you're God, you know, God's son, you've never sinned, and even Jesus said that, wow, only God is good. And it's really, when you think of it like that, it's really changed my perspective on how we should even use that word good. You know, if only God is good, right? God is good, amen? All the time, God is good, and God is good all the time. He's the one who's good. But yeah, it's just striking to me that even Jesus would point that out. God is good. He is holy. He's righteous. He's morally right. That's where we get our moral compass from, is from God's goodness. Another question I ask people at NDSU when I go there, it's like, so how do you know what's right and wrong? Well, it's just kind of developed in the culture. I was like, what do you mean? You know, it's like, I don't have to teach my kids how to lie. They figure that out just well on their own. Thank you. I don't have to teach them how to be mean to their brothers. And you know, by the way, they don't go to daycare, you know, that we have them at home quite a bit. You know, our moral compass does not come from culture. It comes from God. You know, he's what decides what is right and wrong. What if I don't do what I know is good? Another point there under goodness. What if I don't do what I know is good, or the right thing? So if we look at that word good as doing the right thing. Well, James 4:17 tells us, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Ooh, and I've had that verse pop into my mind a number of times when I've, and it's 99% of the time it's when I'm in a hurry. I'm on a schedule, I'm getting somewhere, and then all of a sudden I see something, I'm like, oh, I should go grab that cart for that lady in the parking lot, or oh, I should pick up that piece of trash, you know, like, or the Holy Spirit will prompt me with something, and there's been times I'm like, I just got to get going, and then it's just like, feel like my feet get really heavy metal, and like the Holy Spirit's just like, Paul, do the right thing. I'm like, you know, and then I stop, and I, you know, those are just a couple examples I think about, but I'm sure some of us have felt like that. And maybe at the end of the day, we've realized, wow, I was disobedient to the Holy Spirit today. There was an opportunity. I felt that unction. I felt that urge, and I didn't do it. And that's good to reflect on those things. It's good for us to even start our days with just saying, hey, Lord, I open myself up to you. Allow me to be interrupted. Speak to me for whatever good things you want me to do today. Help me to do the right thing. Help me to do that next right thing today. So I think that's a good habit to have. So don't dwell on those failures. Just acknowledge them and like, yeah, I blew it today. I had a chance. I could have stopped and talked to this person who just lost their spouse or whatever, and I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Please forgive me. And then the next day, just keep asking Jesus to help you bear that goodness. Do that next good thing. We must not give up doing what is good. We must not give up doing what is good. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Doing the right thing. And something God's done in my life as of late. I think a lot of people here know this, but since September 25th, I've gone downtown to the abortion facility just about every single Wednesday. I think I've maybe missed like two. And there's been a lot of times I've gone down there and thought to myself, man, I don't know if I'm doing any good here by showing up. I'm not seeing much fruit. It's like, you know, people are going in, they're going through with this procedure, and even people that we stop and talk to, it's like, nope, they still go in. And it's easy to get discouraged. And then 2.5 weeks ago, right before my eyes, I was able to be part of talking to a father who already had two kids, His wife was into in the life of their third child in her womb, and I told him, you know what? My wife and I, we got pregnant with our fourth child. We already had three very active boys, and we were nervous. We were scared to have another kid. Like, how are we going to keep up with these kids? And I said, but you know what? God has given us the grace that we need every day. And I looked this man in the eyes and I said, I can't imagine my life right now without my daughter, Noelle. I said, you need to get in there and get your wife out of there. She's going to regret it the rest of her life. You'll regret it the rest of your life. You know what he did? He got his two kids. He went in. 5 minutes later, they came out. He was smiling. The wife was smiling. The kids are smiling. I mean, it was like a commercial from a Hallmark card or something. You know, it's like they're just beaming. And I texted him later, and he said, if it wasn't for you godly people down there on the sidewalk, this would have been a disastrous situation. And they were so thankful that we were there to talk to him. And then I got to see, as this verse says, I got to see fruit and was able to reap a harvest for doing good, for doing the right thing. Do I enjoy going and standing down there and getting sworn at and people telling me I'm number one with the wrong finger? And you know, it's not fun. It's not fun, but it's the right thing. Someone needs to stand up. Someone needs to speak out. And we're starting to see fruit from that. And even the days that we don't, I know that God is doing great things. He's doing great things. There's lives that are being saved that we don't even know about. And I don't want everybody to think this is all I ever talk about. There's lots of different things that we could be. We could be going to the jail and meeting with an inmate. And it might take 6, 7, 12 weeks before you start seeing any kind of fruit in that person's life. You know, just talking with them, sharing the gospel with them, things like that. Going and serving at New Life Center for these people that, are just in rough situation and just need to get their life together. And it takes time, is what I'm saying. To do the right thing, it takes time, it takes energy, it takes money, but it's the right thing to do. And we need to grow in doing what is good and bearing that goodness, that fruit. So last question today. What changes must I make to continue in what is good and to do the next right thing? What's the next right thing? My goodness, I think that's even something I know was preached in the public elementary schools where I worked, and I heard it recently from something else, some song or animation or something. Anyway, but for us as Christians, certainly, what's the next right thing? Because it can be overwhelming when we think about, man, there's so many problems in our society, and my family's a mess, and blah blah blah, and I know I should be doing what's right, I should be doing good. But don't overwhelm yourself. Just take it one step at a time. What's the next right thing? Even as you're walking out of the building today, you know, just like, okay, what's the next right thing for me to do? And just take it one step at a time. The Holy Spirit will lead you in that. So patience, kindness, goodness. Let's bear and share those things. Once again, the big idea, bear and share patience, kindness, and goodness. Let's pray. We'll do one last song. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you how it guides us and instructs us. Lord, help us to be trees that bear good fruit. Help us not to grow weary in doing good. We don't always see that fruit right away. We can be so hard on ourselves. Lord, help us to be patient with ourselves as you have been patient with us. Help us to be patient with others as you've been patient with us. Lord, help, just grow us in being more kind. What's just a nice act of kindness that we could show, even to our own children or spouse or roommates. Pray you'd put that on our hearts, Lord, and help us to do the next right thing, to do what is good. So I pray, Lord, you'd grow us in those things, that we would bear and share goodness, patience, and kindness. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.